The following is a presentation from Mount Greylock Baptist Church. Mount Greylock Baptist is a Bible-based church located in North Adams, Massachusetts. For more resources, please visit our website, mountgreylockbaptist.com.
Listen, fellas, God has given all of us a charge. To keep the charge of the Lord thy God. He's put us on charge. He's given us that responsibility and that duty and that safeguard. To keep the charge, Solomon was told by his dad. You've got some things that you need to make sure. And he goes on and he says in verse 3, look, he said, to walk in his ways, meaning God's ways, and to keep his statutes, and to keep his commandments, and to keep his judgments, and his testimonies, and as is written in the law of Moses. He says, listen, if you're going to keep the charge, it means you've got to heed the word of God and what the word of God says. And let me just give you a few things this morning with regards to men. I really have 3 points to the message. One is this, I'm calling it manly men. Manly men are ready to, number one, they're to stand for God's word. My second point will be manly men are ready to seek God's strength. And thirdly, manly men are concerned with God's strategy. So Solomon is given this charge here, and David says, listen, you keep the statutes, you keep the word of God, you make sure you know what it says and you do what God has says. So let me give you a few things out of the word of God, men, that we need to be reminded of today that our young men and young women need to see. Number one is this, be a man of provision. Be a man who provides. Somewhere along the line in America, we've got a whole group of men that no longer think it's important. They're good at going out, and I use that word good loosely. I won't even use it. They can go out and make babies, but they won't provide for them. It's a black eye on our culture. But godly men are men who provide for their families, and they'll do whatever it takes to provide for their family. And the Bible says this in 1 Timothy 5:8, but if any provide not for his own, and especially those of his own house, he hath denied the faith, and he is worse than an infidel. Men are called and directed in God's word to provide for their families. Now that doesn't mean your family has to live in the Taj Mahal, but God has sent you out to do the very best that you can. And to work as hard as you can, to put food on the table, to put a roof over put a roof over your family and put clothes on their back. It is not the responsibility of the United States government to provide for your family. And it is not the responsibility of the United States to provide for you either. To feed you and to clothe you and to medicate you. That's an ungodly thought. But increasingly in our country today, that is the way our country continues to drift more and more, not in God we trust, but in government we trust. And it is contrary to the Bible. Shame on you if you're an able-bodied man. Now let me just back up for a minute. I know that a man can become disabled, and a man can't do what he once could do. I understand that. I'm not talking about that man this morning. I'm not talking about the man who has a physical handicap or something has happened in their life. I'm talking about the man that can go to work. I'm talking about the man that can get out there instead of sitting around all day waiting for the government to give you a check or the government to give you your little food stamp card. You go get a job. You provide. Be an example. Be an example to young men and to young women. That's what the Bible says. Keep the charge. You know, remember what Paul said to the church there in Thessalonica? Most of you know it, so say it with me. If a man doesn't work, he doesn't what? Eat. By the way, we taught that principle at the camping trip over the weekend. We had breakfast, and then the way it usually works is this. The young men, the dads get up, and I usually help cook breakfast. That's kind of a tradition. Brother Russ cooks breakfast. And one of the other guys was helping, and so we kind of cooked the bacon and the eggs and the potatoes and all that. But after the meal, the young men have to clean all the pots and pans. And so the first breakfast, they were kind of like hemming and hawing, and like they kind of like, you know, maybe do we really? And so I said this, now if you don't clean the pots and the pans, the next meal you don't eat. Oh boy, they all jumped right in after that, I'll tell you what. But that's a biblical principle. Secondly, don't forget this, be a man of protection. That's what godly men do. They protect their families. My kids tell me when I'm not home, even my wife tells me this, I don't know what the problem is, but when I'm not home at night up in the house there, you know, it's an old house we live in. I don't know, maybe it creaks, the wind blows or something. They get kind of scared. I mean, they've lived there their whole lives, you know. But apparently when dad's there, they're not quite as scared. Well, it kind of makes me feel good, you know. I kind of, you know. But we protect our families not only physically, we want to protect them spiritually as well. You know, Paul said, what concord or what agreement does Christ have with Belial, the devil? Or what part hath he that believeth with an infidel? You know, there's a responsibility and a role that we have with regards to our families and protecting them both physically and spiritually. That's part of the charge that God has given us. Thirdly is this, be a man of praise. I think just about every year since I've been the pastor, on Father's Day we sing Blessed Assurance. I didn't ask Ethan to pick that song this morning. I think he just did it because he knows that that song means a lot to me. That was my dad's favorite song. The psalmist said, O Lord, open thou my lips, and my mouth shall show forth thy praise. I think sometimes we're more apt to gripe and to complain when we should be praising and thanking the Lord. You don't really ever understand the value of that until later on in life. I walked into a little First Bible Baptist church with 17 or 18 people. At the very best, I was backslidden. At the very worst, I was lost. Not really interested in God, the things of God. Just went there to find a preacher. My wife and I, who you know is from North Adams, I'm from New Jersey, fell in love, wanted to get married, contacted the preacher there, he invited us to church, met with us, encouraged us to come out to church. I don't know, maybe the second or third Sunday we were there, maybe it was longer, it's a long time ago. The congregation of just that 20 or so people sang Blessed Assurance. And it brought back everything my father tried to teach me as a young man. You never know what God will use, do you? You never know. And so we come to church and we sing and we praise God. I'm guilty of not praising Him more at home and singing at home. But by praising the Lord, the psalmist said, O Lord, open thou my lips, and my mouth shall show forth thy praise. Just thanking God for who He is and what He has done. See, young men need to see that. And young women need to see that. Be a man of provision and a man of protection, a man of praise. And the last subpoint to standing for the Word of God, because remember, that's the charge that God gave to Solomon, or that David gave to Solomon. He said, listen, you walk in God's ways, you keep God's statutes, you keep His commandments, you keep His judgments. Well, these are things I've just given you a few out of the Word of God. But a man of promise as well, the promises that are found in the Word of God. live those promises, learn those promises, love those promises, and make sure young men and young women, they see that you're living them and loving them and keeping them. You know, the Bible says this, "For bodily exercise profiteth little, but godliness is profitable unto all things." Now, here's the rest of that verse. "Having promise of the life that now is, and of that which is to come." The life that now is. There's a life that we're living right now. And the promises of God are as real today and for us today as the promises that God has given us for the future. Amen? And so men of God, they live out those promises, and their children see those promises being lived out in God's Word. So Solomon was instructed, listen, you keep the charge, he said in verse 3. Keep the charge. But in order to do that, the second point is this, that we must be ready to seek God's strength every day. To seek His strength every day. Look at verse 2. "I go the way of all the earth. Be thou strong, therefore, and show thyself a man." Be thou strong. Well, we know from the Scriptures, the Bible here is not talking about physical strength as so much as it's talking about spiritual strength. And so the Bible tells us, finally, my brethren, in the book of Ephesians, be strong in who? Be strong in the Lord and in the power of His might. Our strength has to come from the Lord. That's where we get our strength from, to be a man of provision, a man of protection, a man of praise, a man of promise. You know, let me just back up a little bit about this whole idea of a promise. Last year we didn't go to the Father-Son camp out. It was going to rain. And we said, we're not going to sit out in the rain. But after we didn't go last year, I know my own son was disappointed, and some of the other young men were disappointed. And so we decided this year, I said to the guys, I said, we're going to go. And one of them came up to me and said, are we going to go rain or shine? We're going to go rain or shine, I said. And so that would have been a terrible thing, wouldn't it have been, if we had said, we're going to go, where to go? And then we heard the weather, and the weather wasn't good. And then we decided at the last minute, we're not going to go. And those young men would have been disappointed. Now, I have to be honest with you, we had a good time, but I could have thought of a lot of better things to do than sit for 2.5 days in the rain. But about the day and a half into it, as some of us were sitting under the tent as the rain is pouring and we're having a cup of coffee, we looked out to the cove and there's the kids. They're out in the canoe and they're swimming. The rain didn't stop them. They're having the time of their lives. They wanted to you have to buy the firewood. You can't bring your own across state lines any longer. And so we had to buy the firewood. And so it's not cheap, so we're trying to ration it. But they wanted a big fire in the afternoon. And so my son Aaron, he gathers them all up, and off into the woods they go, looking for any kind of wood that they can bring back to get a big roaring fire going. I mean, the wood was soaking wet, but they got it going. And there they are with the axe, and I thought for sure somebody's going to cut their toe off. I mean, they're out there with sandals on, and they got an axe in their hand. I said, hey, you can't be doing that. So there's Aaron. I said, hey, you can't be doing that. Dutiful youth leader. And then here he is with his sandals on, cutting me with his... Good example, you are. Right. But a man of strength, godly strength, because adversity is going to come and difficulties are going to come as a dad. And standing up for right is going to take strength. We heard about that in the adult Sunday school class this morning, as Ethan taught that lesson with regards to that. We need God's strength. We need God's strength to do what's right and to follow God's leading. So when you seek God's strength, you're a man of godly power. It's God's power. That's keeping the charge. That's what David said to his son there in that last charge. Listen, be strong, therefore, and show thyself a man. I've got four daughters. From the time, from the time they were little babies, I've been praying for husbands for them. My four sons, I've been praying for wives for them. My two daughters-in-law, you are answers to my prayers. The men that my daughters marry, those men are going to have to seek their father's approval. I'm still old-fashioned enough that I expect them to give me a call before they want to date my kids. I want to know what their spiritual background is. I want to know where they've gone to church. Certainly want to know if they're born again. And sometimes, I forget exactly how Ethan put it in the Sunday school class. I should have wrote it down. But that point, excuse me, that point he was making with regards to, what was that point you made, Ethan? Maybe you can remember with regards to, you can have a strong spiritual walk with the Lord, but then not necessarily make the right decision with regards to saying yes and no. That's when you need strength. Anyhow, let me move on. So, manly men are ready to seek God's strength, not only the power, but they're men of prayer. The effectual, fervent prayer of a righteous man availeth much. And so I kind of actually got on to that point with regards to my daughters-in-law, with regards to the future husbands of my girls. I've been praying for them. I don't know who they are. I don't know when they're going to come along. But I've been praying for over, I don't know, how old are you, Talitha? 22. I just need prayer to remember my kids' ages. There's no lie. I've got my wife, she's so good at that. But I have to go to the pharmacy when I have to pick up their medication when they were growing up. They'd say, well, when was their birthday? Oh, I always get out of it. Well, I had eight kids. Oh, you had eight kids. No wonder you can't remember. Well, my wife, of course, she remembers it all. She not only remembers the birthday, she remembers exactly what time they were born and all of that. But, you know, that's a mom, amen? But I have, anyhow. How old are you? I forgot already. For over 22 years. The effectual, fervent prayer. Listen, men pray for their families. They find time to pray for their families. They make sure that they pray for their families. Be a praying man. Listen to some words out of the book of Proverbs, by the way, of keeping the word of God. He that turneth away his ear from hearing the law, even his prayer shall be an abomination. So the first point was this. Manly men are ready to stand on God's word. And second point was manly men are ready to seek God's strength. And the last thing that Solomon is told here by King David is this, that manly men are concerned with God's strategy. In other words, be a man of purpose. Look again at verse 4. That the Lord may continue his word which he spake concerning me, saying, if thy children take heed to their way, to walk before me in truth with all their heart and with all their soul, there shall not fail thee said he, a man on the throne of Israel. See, that was Solomon's purpose, that his children would walk in their way, that his children would hear and heed the word with all of their heart and with all of their souls. Listen, I think it was the patriot Patrick Henry that said, there is no greater gift than a man could give his family than the gospel of Jesus Christ. That is the greatest gift. John said there, I forget if it's in 1 John or 2 John, I have no greater joy than to hear that my children walk in truth. Now, with regards to that, John was not talking so much, I don't think, about his physical children, but his spiritual children. But the same thing is true about our physical children, that we would have no greater joy than to hear that our children walk in truth. There's no greater joy in a father's heart, or for that matter, in a mother's heart, to see their sons and their daughters walk in truth. And by the way, there's no greater heartache in a father's heart, in a mother's heart, than to see. Than to see a child not walking in truth. I remember in my own life, and I still have the letter. It was given back to me after my father passed away. After I accepted Christ as my Savior, I was sitting under the preaching of Brother Ainsworth. I don't even remember the message, but he talked. He must have been talking about fathers and sons, and I remember the Holy Spirit just convicting my heart and how for years my dad had told me and tried to witness to me and tried to encourage me in the faith, and I laughed and I mocked at that. Thought it was a joke until God got a hold of my heart and saved me. I think he's even encouraging us then to just go back to your folks and tell them you were sorry. And I wrote him a long letter. I sent him that letter, and some years went by, and I had forgotten about it. Until after he had passed away, and we're going through his belongings, one of my brothers gave me that letter, and he hung on to it all those years. You see, we have to have a strategy. Our strategy is to, for our children, to walk with the Lord. And we need to do our best through God's strength and through prayer. There's no guarantees. Every child has to make their own choices, their own decisions, and every father is going to come up short in one area or in another area. Part of the strategy, by the way, is what you're doing here today. You're here in the house of God. That is part of God's strategy. See, don't mess up God's strategy. One of the reasons God gave us the church, the local church, is for you to bring your children and for your children to come to the house of God. When they see how important it is in your life, then it becomes important in their life. If it's not important in your life, it will not be important in their life. When it becomes casual to you, it will become less than casual to them. When they see a lack of commitment in you, it will translate to a lack of commitment in them. That's just how it works. But that's part of God's strategy. The Bible says of God, He hath called us, He has saved us and called us with a holy calling, not according to our works, but according to His own purpose. He's got a purpose for our lives. The Bible says, Paul said, Thou hast fully known my doctrine, my manner of life, my purpose, my faith, my long suffering, my charity, my patience. Now he was writing that to Timothy, but our children and our grandchildren should fully know where we stand with regards to the doctrines of God's Word and the manner of life that we live and what our purpose in life is all about and where we stand in the faith and see in us a long-suffering and a charity and a patience with regards to not only the things of God but with regards to them. And that was the charge that God gave to David. David gave to Solomon. Unfortunately, if you read through the history of the scriptures, you'd find that not all of their children heeded the way. And not all of the children walked in truth. And that was sad. In the whole history of the nation of Israel, as it split into two, Judah to the south and Israel to the north, you saw that that they didn't heed God's word. But men, be ready to stand on God's word. Keep the charge. Be ready to seek God's strength. Keep the charge. Be concerned. God's got a strategy. Are you fulfilling that strategy to your kids? Does your wife, your children, your girls, your boys, do they see that you're fulfilling that strategy in your life? Because the reality is this. We all go the way of the earth at some point. We all go the way of the earth. We're not going to be here forever. But we can leave a lasting legacy. Truths. That song, it's that my dad sang all the time, it's still speaking to my heart. It's still speaking to my heart. And some of the things my dad said to me as a boy growing up, I still think of those things. I still remember those things. And he's been gone for over 25 years. What will your legacy be when you go the way of all the earth? Let's bow our heads for a word of prayer. You know, if you're here today, I want you to understand this, that you have a heavenly Father who loves you and cares for you. So much so that he sent his son Jesus to die for you on an old rugged cross. You may be here this morning and you might say, you know, my dad, I didn't really have a very good dad. He wasn't a man who kept the charge like you preached this morning. And I'm sorry for that. I am. But I want to tell you that there is a Father in heaven whereby we can cry, Abba, Father, who loves you more than even any earthly father could love you. Who cares for you so much that he took his very best Jesus to die and pay for your sin. Listen, understand this. Everyone here is a sinner. We're all sinners. That's why Jesus came. He came to die and pay for our sin on the cross. Sin just means to break God's word. We're sinners by nature. We're born that way into this world. That's why we sin. But God so loved the world that he sent his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. Jesus took all of your sin upon himself and your penalty upon himself because he loves you. And if you're here today and you've never asked Jesus to be your Savior, you can do that today. You must admit that you're a sinner. We've all sinned and come short of the glory of God. You must admit that. You must believe that Jesus died and paid for your sin. And then by faith we call upon him. Whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. It simply means, Lord, I know I'm a sinner. I believe that. And I believe Jesus came to die and pay for my sin. And today I want to place my faith and my trust in him and him alone. Maybe that's you this morning. You've never done that. But today you'd like to do that. Would you do this? Our heads are bowed, our eyes are closed. Would you just slip by? I'm not going to come to you. I'm not going to call out your name or embarrass you. But God's speaking to your heart right now. And you say, you know, I'd like to do that today, Pastor. Would you just slip up your hand and put it down? I've never asked Jesus to be my Savior, but today I want to do that. Today I want to receive Christ as my Savior. Anyone at all? Men, I hope God's Spirit convicted your heart this morning. I hope you'll take these simple truths, whether you're a dad or you're not a dad, whether you're an uncle or just a single man. Some young men need to see men today. They need to see men that stand for truth, stand for right. Our culture, our world needs to see men. Men who will stand in the gap. Maybe during the quietness of this invitation time, and you just spend some time with the Lord and say, oh, Lord, help me to be that man. Help me to be the man that will stand in the gap at home. Help me to be the man that will stand in the gap at work. Help me to be the man that will stand in the gap in church. my family. I'm going to be that man. Father, bless the invitation. Speak to our hearts as only you can. In Jesus' name, amen.
Thank you for joining us for this broadcast. We hope that the message was an encouragement to you. If you are nearby, please consider being our guest this Sunday. For more information about Mount Greylock Baptist Church, or for answers about what it means to be a Christian, please contact us. We would love to hear from you. You can find more resources online at mountgreylockbaptist.com.